This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Have a challenge for you. Have you broken your New Year's resolutions yet? We often make them. They're often quite ridiculous and silly. So we're going to talk about New Year's resolutions today and how you can take better care of yourself just by being kind to yourself. Don't worry about all that resolution stuff. It's nonsense. Yes, good afternoon. We are talking cravings at 6 minutes past one, or more specifically today, we are talking resolutions and promises that you make to yourself. Many of us have at 1 o'clock in the morning on the 1st of January, I'm going to lose 20 kilos, I'm going to go to the gym, I'm going to do all of these things, none of which you're probably doing, and you've probably broken half of those resolutions already. Things you should be saying to yourself at the new year: I'm going to be kind to myself, I might change some things so that I feel better. She's almost resident nutritionist and dietitian here at Joy 94.9. We speak to her a great deal, and I'm delighted that she's dragged herself away from cleaning out the shed to come in and spend some time in the studio with me today to talk about those resolutions and diets and fads and superfoods and a whole bunch of things that we're going to spend the next hour talking about. Emma Sterling from Scoop Nutrition, welcome back.
Welcome back.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Thank you for having me back.
Has it been a good start?
It has for me. Yeah, I'm being kind to myself. I'm trying to be very mindful this year, and had a lovely break at Lakes Entrance and back doing some things in beautiful Melbourne.
And you had a trip to America last year. That was nice to recharge your batteries. But
yeah, and certainly that's one of the kind things I'm yet to still do is get out the big wall planner and map out the moments of fun for the year with the family. So that's one tip that I love to do every year is try and look for those times when we will have things to look forward to.
And that can be as simple as a day trip to the Yarra Valley.
Absolutely. It doesn't have to cost money, but we all need those things. And often, how many of us, the long weekend comes up and everyone else seems to have such fun things planned and we haven't.
And we're painting the window frames. And
get some friends together and have a picnic in the botanical garden. So I'm going to be really disciplined this year and do that well. And obviously you need to be flexible, but mapping out, we all know that you need something short-term to look forward to and often something long-term. Mm. It's part of good mental well-being. So that could be an overseas holiday that you're saving for long-term, but puts short-term things into your life that add to that well-being as well.
We're going to America in August, so that's our sort of long-term thing. We're actually going to get married over there. We had a wedding here before Christmas, but thank you. But we are actually going to do that in the United States, where it's, oddly enough, legal for us to get married. So that's sort of our long-term thing. And, you know, we've got a couple of little short-term things that are happening. We're going to spend some time in our friend's shack at Suppression Creek that was very miraculously saved from the fires by the incredible work of the CFA. Yeah. So. I've started that goal thing, and the other thing I'm going to do, which I think you're aware of, on my bucket list, I don't like to exercise. I don't go to the gym. I'm really poor at exercise.
I call that a reluctant. I'm a reluctant exerciser too.
I can garden all day.
And I can, you know, go on a walk if I'm traveling somewhere and I don't even think I'm exercising, but I tend to have to do those things into my week. I prefer that type of activity where I'm actually doing something. Yeah.
So one of the fun things I'm going to do and tick off my bucket list this year is learn to tap dance.
Wow, I heard a rumour about this, and I think that you would be fabulous if Fred Astaire in a couple of tap shoes. And
well, I think it's a good way for me to exercise without actually thinking that I'm exercising. It's actually something that's going to be really good fun. I'm taking good care of my body because I'm doing some aerobic work.
Exactly. You're also going to be having tap dance a little bit in my dancing years, yes, as under 10s. You're going to use your brain a lot too. So as we're healthy aging and using our mind, and whether later on we'll do Sudoku, but you know, tap dancing, there's a bit of brain power in there as well. And the fun, you'll laugh your head off.
Oh, I will. And because I'm a little bit clumsy as well, this is really not a good activity for a clumsy person. But I think it's one of those activities that I know that it will make me laugh. So it's good for my soul.
Absolutely.
I'm going to have fun. So it's good for my energy levels. It's exercise, so it's good for my body. And I just think it's one of those things that's going to be great fun all around.
And also I think too, Pete, the sense of community. Mm. So we all, some people like to exercise solo, absolutely. Do what works for you. But for most of us, you will be motivated by that tap group. You know, you'll feel slack if you don't turn up every week, because they'll be all like, oh my God, where's Pete? Where's our laugh this week? We've been waiting for him.
Yeah.
And you'll also enjoy just going along and having the camaraderie of other people. So
absolutely,
it's finding what works for you.
And it's going to be a good thing to do after work as well. So I can sort of look at one day a week and go, right, when I finish work, I'm not going home to bother about cooking the family meal or whatever. I'm actually going to be doing something that's going to be ridiculous. So
we went horse riding yesterday.
Yeah,
took my 13-year-old and some neighbours, and I did a lot of horse riding as a kid on my uncle's farm. And you know, over the years, you tend to, the younger kids get on the horses and you just stand back. And I'm like, why?
With your phone videoing.
Yeah, I'm such a passion. I was still quite good at it yesterday, so I was surprised myself. And I thought, it's always out of reach. But, you know, I looked up, you can go horse riding in Werribee, which is where we live in the Inner West. It's
20 minutes up the road, yeah.
And there's an adult class for 2 hours, a group class, $50 a fortnight. Like, it's quite achievable. If I thought about investing in a gym membership that I probably wouldn't go to.
Or if you buy one less takeaway coffee every couple of days.
Exactly. And I had such a sense of well-being after that session. Why not put
and
that
slightly chafed inner thighs as well?
I was working like a cowboy this morning, but I thought, really? Great exercise. Yeah. And that's not all I'm going to be able to do to maintain my fitness. But if I had that once a like, it's picking those really pleasurable things.
Yeah.
And you think, why don't I still do that? I used to love that as a kid. Mm. Why don't I do that anymore?
Have we gotten lazier, do you think? Because we've become a bit more reliant on the thing that is in our hand, the device.
Or our watch now.
And we've got a bit, you know, and we're wearing these things that tell us how many steps we do in a day and that sort of thing. I think we've become a bit lazy, a bit sort of reliant on technology rather than just, you know, our son normally walks the dog every morning. Our son's away. My partner's away at work. My husband, I should say. So
yes,
I now every morning I've taken the dog for a walk, and I got home from work the other night. I took the dog for a walk at night as well. And it's only probably, I don't know, half a K maybe.
Yeah. But it adds
maybe
up.
Maybe a kilometre.
It adds up.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We know, certainly since that sharp rate of increase in obesity that we've seen since the 1980s, so, you know, the curve just goes crazy.
Yes.
We know there's been a lot of finger pointing. Oh, is it fast food to blame? Is it soft drinks?
Is it salt? Is it avocado? Is it
and
eggs?
And really, for every person, there's probably 100, 200 little behaviours that we've all changed in the last 30, 40 years. And that idea of being more sedentary, it's just, are we sitting
down? I used to work standing up, now I work sitting down.
Exactly. The days I teach and I'm in the commercial kitchen and I'm, you know, talking cooking science and nutrition, and they're my happiest days because I'm active. The days I sit at my computer all day, I don't feel so good.
No, and you want to punch something and you don't do that. It's 30 minutes past one here on Joy 94.9. We're going to go through a whole raft of things. We've had a tweet already from the Melbourne Farmers Markets who said, great conversation. How about going local with your food dollars to Healthy Choice for Victorian Agriculture, as well as being really good for you? So we're going to get on to the nutrition part of your life and the exercise and the things we shouldn't eat and all the fad stuff that you need to just toss in the garbage bin. It is 30 minutes past one, 40 minutes past one. You're on Cravings on Joy 94.9.
Bonjour, I am Gabriel Gatte. You are listening to Cravings with Peter Dillon on Australia's only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Yes, you are. It's a quarter past one, and we are today talking about your New Year's resolutions around not just your health and your nutrition, but exercise and all of that. We've had a message, I'm not sure if I said this on air, from the Melbourne Farmers Markets group, who've said, a great conversation. How about going local with your food dollars as well? A healthy choice for Victorian agriculture. I think that's it's a really important thing, because as we think about what we should eat, we need to stay away from those very large supermarkets and prepackaged food and start to educate ourselves. I was having a discussion with somebody recently. We took $20 each to go and get lunch. So that person came back with sort of $20 worth of stuff that was almost pre-done.
Yep.
And I went with $20 and I bought some fruit and I bought some tomatoes. It wasn't all healthy, but it was a much better way to spend $20 and I could feed more people.
That's right. It's very interesting. There's the research looking at public perception. You know, most people out there think that eating healthy is more expensive.
Yeah.
But cost per kilo, when you do that sort of analysis, buying beautiful fresh fruit and veggies or fresh produce from, you know, Melbourne farmers markets.
And you're buying stuff that's in season.
Yeah, because you're paying for the processing. Mm. So, yes, a packet of chips compared to, you know, a piece of fruit. You've got to look at it as a going by the potatoes to make the chip, you know.
Or sweet potatoes.
Research, you can, it's a bit of a myth. You can eat healthily on a budget, and particularly buying things in season. So, you know, looking at the seasonality, our beautiful fresh produce at the moment.
Stone fruits are everywhere and they're delicious.
Cherries still a little bit, all our berries, you know, so those kind of things. And supporting our local farmers. Shopping local was quite important around Christmas time, but continue that into the new year.
Mm.
Visit a farmer's market. Visit our beautiful markets in Melbourne. Go out and volunteer at a local farm.
Mm.
If that's, why not make that your exercise for the year?
Because that's something you can do within sort of 40 minutes drive from Melbourne.
Absolutely. There are certainly farms in Melbourne that will take volunteers, community, you know, farms where you can go and donate half a day, a few hours here and there and be part of that community. And you're getting great exercise. You're outdoors and you're doing good at the same time.
There are also community gardens. Now, I know there's one over near us that we've just rented a plot for our son.
Yep.
It's $20 for the year.
Yep.
And we can take him and we can actually grow our own food. So whilst we don't have a great garden space at our house, and this is probably great for people who are living in apartments or who are living in shared spaces, you can go and get a plot with your local council and grow your own food. So there's that sense of accomplishment. You're actually going out once a week or twice a week to weed your garden or plant something new. So
I think where those sort of granny skills, we're all going back to gardening and crocheting and pickling, you know, fermented foods. The whole area of gut health is very big at the moment. I've just signed up for Ceres to do their crowdsourcing this year.
Yep.
They're getting communities together to bottle tomato sauce, like the Italians are very good at doing. But, you know, great new way to meet neighbours and do, you know, really interesting things. So, yeah, anything that connects you to food and where it comes from as close to the natural source as possible is going to be good for your health, but also going to be incredibly beneficial for what I call edible education, teaching our kids where that food comes from, how to appreciate it, not to waste it, and to respect the people that grow and produce it for us.
Exactly. I want to talk a little bit, we were talking about fruit and veg before. You can go and spend $8 buying your kid a Happy Meal. And it's got, you know, a bottle of water and it's got some sliced apples or something. I would suggest for that $8, you can go and buy a small piece of protein and some vegetables or some fruit or some salad ingredients and actually make something and teach the children how to make food.
Yeah, look, I think there's a role for all types of food. I'm not a complete purist. My kids eat, you know, fast food at times.
And that's a treat.
We do that as a family. We do road trip food. I mean, I choose different things than they choose.
Yes.
I think it's all about achieving that balance and what works for your family. But certainly you can fall into that crux of a busy life, and it's the easy solution to go far down that convenience route and never really show your kids how to cook. Such fascinating research is coming out that even the smells of home cooking in the home for a young baby, 1-month-old baby, 2-month-old baby that's not even had anything but breast milk or formula as yet, those smells, those pungent, beautiful garlic or ginger cooking for your curry, is just as important at priming that child to get ready to actually accept new foods and not be a fussy eater. So, you know, cooking, as you know, I'm passionate about, cooking skills are incredibly important for life and beyond.
And people who are living alone or in shared accommodation or perhaps living in a small apartment with their partner, there's great opportunities for those people to actually get out and cook elsewhere. So, again, go and volunteer with a charity where you get to cook or, you know, there's a myriad of different ways.
Absolutely. You can look up community kitchens online. So there's a lot of community kitchens now where they're, you know, local government supported and you can go along and join with a community group to take classes or to help prepare food for a, you know, community event or to feed people that are, you know, less privileged than you are.
Mm.
So there's certainly lots of ways to get involved. But I think I really like the idea of just in your neighbourhood looking after maybe those people that you know that are live close to you by locality. I mean, with a couple of people in our street make a double batch meal some nights for some of the elderly in our street and they drop them across the road. I mean, those kind of things, we've lost that
sense of community.
What we used to do. But it's not that hard to resurrect it again in your own neighbourhood, with a little bit of safety along the way.
Yes, there was an interesting program I heard about late last year. It's from Budrum in Queensland, where there is a whole community, a neighbourhood where on their nature strip, they're actually, rather than just having grass and stuff, they're growing food. So, and this has been coordinated by somebody there who, you know, someone will apply. So if they move into this area of Budrum, somebody will apply and say, I want to grow something. What's needed? Or, you know, I've got mandarin trees that are in my backyard that I want to put out the front, and is that going to work? So,
That's right. And produce swaps. So there's a lot of meetups, produce swaps. I'm sure you could easily.
We do it locally in the Inner West group. You know, somebody was saying the other day they've got.
The beauty of technology. Yes. Has, you know, we said that, and that's why I'm a bit of a realist. Technology has enslaved us in a way in being sedentary and not moving, but technology, I believe, will actually set us free as well.
Mm.
I do believe in using that technology. The beauty of a Facebook group, to be able to connect people
and someone's
together.
Someone's got a load of lemons here, and someone's got a load of honey.
I'll swap my big zucchini.
Yeah, exactly. And it takes us back to that sense of community. So
we all love the village well, Pete. You know,
we do.
It's not going to change. We all like a good chat around the village well, whether we're swapping honey or not, you know.
Also going into the workplace to take stuff into work. So I know a charity I used to do some work for, we would get together probably a couple of times during the course of a campaign and we would have a potluck lunch where everybody was to bring something that had either come from their garden or you know, maybe they got it at the fruit and veg store, who knows. But it was that sense of we all made something and bought something in as part of a community lunch. And you can start doing that. Take your excess lemons to work. This week I had some.
I brought you my lemons one.
I think you did. Yeah. I think I've still got lemon butter. I had some overripe bananas, so I just made this huge banana cake and just took it into work and said,
"Great,
eat," because I'm only going to throw those bananas in the bin.
I know you hate the food waste as well. I mean, we are atrocious with our track record in most Western countries, to be honest. And it really is, when you're conscious of it, it's not that hard to make some drastic changes. I mean, there's people buying in bulk too, so the idea of produce swapping, but also getting together in a collective and having a buying collective where someone will have the master list of the fruit and veggie shop, and you go to the market, you've got more bargaining power to buy.
So you're buying
in bulk,
a box of oranges rather than a kilo,
and then to distribute it. So that there are certainly some very smart people out there running some fantastic groups and helping change the way that we interact with our food supply.
And they do exist in all suburbs as well.
Absolutely.
I'm interested to hear what you're doing, or if you're doing anything, or whether you're one of those people that does live by yourself and struggles to find the motivation to cook for yourself, so it's easier to go down to the street and buy a container of Chinese or pick up some pad thai or something on the way home. I'm curious to know what you do in your home or your shared house or wherever you live to take care of yourself perhaps in that regard, or do you just not cook at all? 0427JOY949. You can send Emma and I a text message. You can email on air at joy.org.au. You can, if you wish, send a tweet to cravings_joy949. Or you can call Samuel, who's sitting on the front desk, furiously waiting for your call, 1300-JOY949. Thank you, Samuel, for your ongoing support of the program as well. I want to spend a little bit of time, if we can, just a little bit later, talking about some of the fad diets that are around, some of the things we should be taking care of. There was a piece out this week that the detox is actually not good for you. There's another story around that black pudding is a new superfood, which I absolutely love because there is no greater thing than a bit of fried black pudding on the breakfast plate.
Kale is definitely out. But
oh, thank heavens for that. And quinoa. When's quinoa going?
It's hanging around. It's hanging around, but I'm seeing a lot of teff now.
So another ancient grain.
Yeah, another grain and teff flour cropping up a lot. Freka and farro.
Beautiful.
Yeah, other grains. So quinoa's certainly had its day, but it'll hang for a bit longer.
Actually, you'll be very pleased. I bought some stone ground flour bread the other day that was made with quinoa in it.
Yeah.
I don't like quinoa, but it's a very delicious lump of bread.
I mean, I would, again, about the idea of shopping locally, a lot of our quinoa was imported.
From Peru.
And so something like a cracked green wheat freaka, we grow in Western Australia. So it's much better to pick something that certainly always, even with your grains, look at what the country of origin is when you're shopping.
And again, you'll be very pleased. I went and bought a salad the other day. It was all vegetarian. It was two salads. One was done with farro, one was done with freaka. And it had green beans and feta. It was absolutely delicious.
Delicious. Beautiful. And absolutely. Obviously, you know, I'm very passionate about eating out. And yes. We have so blessed in Melbourne. Chefs have embraced this. You know, you can go to really anywhere from a high fine dining down to, you know, your corner cafe and get that type of food these days, which is fantastic.
We will talk about fad diets and those things where they have things delivered to your front door very shortly. You're on Cravings here on Joy 94.9. Emma Sterling is my guest. We are unbreaking your broken New Year's resolutions at 27 minutes past one.
Hi, I'm Anna De Silva, and you're listening to Cravings with Pete Dillon on Australia's only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Yes, you are listening to Pete Dillon, and Emma Sterling is with me. We are going through, we're talking about nutrition and diet and broken New Year's resolutions because it's the 9th of January, so I'm assuming many of them will already be broken. I don't make them anymore. I think they're a bit ridiculous because they're promises you're making to yourself that you generally can't keep.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I think most people go about them the wrong way. They make them the things that they really are annoyed about themselves that they want to change. So they just say, I'm going to change it. And that's my resolution.
And there's no roadmap.
There's no roadmap. So, I mean, you know, I'm sure many of the listeners have heard about making SMART goals.
Yep.
So they're goals that are specific.
Measurable,
achievable or attainable, some people say, are relevant to you. Mm. So, you know, tap dancing is not a great goal because it's on your bucket list.
Like, yeah,
why wouldn't that be something that you would do this year? And then the T is time bound or have a time constraint.
Yep.
So a SMART goal is not, I want to be able to run. A SMART goal is, hey, I've never run 5Ks. I'm going to sign up for, you know, the Mother's Day Classic in May to run around the town. And this is my
my roadmap.
I'm going to get there. And who's going to help me do that?
And I'm going to start by running 500 metres.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I mean, there's couch to
clothesline.
Yeah. Those kind of things.
There was that, whole clothesline diet. There was that woman from the US, who started her diet by walking to her clothesline.
Yeah.
And then she would walk around the clothesline of the square under the hill's hoist.
Yeah.
Now she's lost a ridiculous amount of weight. We see a lot on the television, Emma, Light and Easy and Jenny Craig and Weight Watchers that you're involved with. Where's the science in any of those? I want to, you know, Light and Easy meals delivered to your door. Does that just make us lazy?
Look, I think what we're finding out of all the growing body of obesity research, we don't have all the answers yet. I mean, people, we know that weight loss is as simple as energy in versus energy out. You eat less or you burn more calories. Mm. I mean, we know that to lose, about 0.5 to 1 kilogram a week of body weight, you have to cut or burn more calories a day, about 500 to 1,000 calories. So we know that the maths is very simple. But the behaviour change is the challenge. Mm. And what we're learning is that every individual will be different. And people will have a different genetic makeup. People will have a different lifestyle. People will have different relationship with food, particularly. Some people have, you know, more emotional eating cues that are their fallback. Other people, it might be, you know, the lack of never really found an exercise that suited them. So what we do know is if you're going to go down the path of weight loss is your number one goal, I would say look to a scientific-backed program that's comprehensive, because just changing what you eat is not going to be enough.
And just dialing in light and easy to be delivered to your door each week is also probably not good enough, is it?
Well, look, for some people, light and easy has worked. And they, you know, it does.
Sorry, I need to talk about this text message, which says, just go to Hungry Jack's or McDonald's.
I love it. And absolutely, sometimes you just do.
Yep.
And again, it's individual. Light and easy, for some people that, you know, maybe are happy to be habitual eaters, happy to have the food delivered, don't care about cooking. It's not what I think is important as far as edible education, all those things. But maybe you do that for 3 months to kickstart your year.
And maybe some people just don't know how to cook. I know people who are fascinated because they don't know how to cook.
We know that the out of all the research, there's not the one magic bullet yet of this type of diet, this type of program, this type of meal delivery will work for everyone. But it may work for you.
Correct.
And we used to say that the idea of yo-yo dieting, you know, weight cycling was dangerous. You know, don't, you're best not to do anything because you'll stuff your metabolism along the way. Mm. We still don't want you to yo-yo diet, lose all this weight in the new year, put it back on. We want you to be careful. We want you to find long-term solutions. But at the same time, it's not, the research is showing it's not motivation enough to not have a go. So if it's a new year and you want to try something, look to who's behind the program. Look to if it's localized to Australia. Are you having to buy foods from overseas or, you know, things that you can't even get?
And if you have to take a pill to make it happen, don't take the pills.
Is it promising these huge claims that sound too good to be true? It probably is.
And, of course, all of those success stories have been combined with a complete change of lifestyle and exercise and all of that
sort
of stuff.
That's right. Most weight loss supplements, in the fine print, it says, as combined with
calorie controlled. Which you can do all of that without the tablets. You work with Weight Watchers.
I consult to Weight Watchers, and I'm nutrition editor. So I've, you know, been a nutrition writer for 15 years, so I'm a nutrition editor of the magazine.
And
Oprah's just come on board with Weight Watchers.
Oh, has she?
Yeah.
Oh, Jenny Craig, give her the ass.
No, she wasn't part of Jenny Craig, but she has tried. It'd be interesting to see what happens, because she's put her hand up as being that yo-yo dieter for all the years, and she's been behind the scenes, you know, using the Weight Watchers program. And as I said, look, it may not be that works for you. Weight Watchers works.
But there is some science to Weight Watchers, I think.
Absolutely. Well, Weight Watchers is the leading science-backed commercial weight loss program. So out of all, there was an independent review paper last year that looked at a number of the commercial weight loss programs, and Weight Watchers is up the top, you know, there with being the most that's invested in clinical trials and research. But as I said, it's not going to necessarily work for everyone. It's about finding something that you think would interest you, looking well into what's behind the scenes of that program.
Yeah.
We know that even having a supportive environment is incredibly important. So with your, tap dancing, who's going to keep you honest? It's your group that's going to keep you honest.
It's also my husband who said, I hope it's on the same night that I play football, because he's going to start playing AFL 9, so it's sort of like touch AFL footy. So he's sort of suggesting that, you know, this is a good way for us to both be out doing something.
Absolutely.
We've got someone to care for Lou, so we're out doing something, which means that we're not spending that much time away from one another, but I'm not playing footy and he's not tap dancing.
Definitely look at the claims, look at the substantiation, look at the track record behind the program, and look at, I suppose, the financial investment as well. It's funny, a lot of the workplace corporate health programs, the evidence is actually showing that you're better off putting a little bit of coin into your program. You're better off paying a little bit because it's sort of like that gym membership. If you've paid the big bucks for a gym membership, you feel so guilty about not going that you will go for a period of time. So it's the same thing. You don't want to be wasting money, though, on pills and potions and things that don't have a lot of scientific evidence.
And I think it's fair to say if you can buy it in pill form in one of the two major supermarkets, it's probably not the best idea.
Look, I mean, there's some you know, very reputable supplements out there that are there for iron deficiency and for vitamin D deficiency, which
all
we
of those can, things,
all those
yes.
things. But certainly from a weight loss perspective, I'm not aware in my 20-plus years as an accredited practicing dietitian of anything yet that I would recommend as a go-to magic bullet that will miraculously melt your fat away without you have to doing any work.
What about all this talk around, and I think there's an interesting conversation we're about to have with people who are sitting on the other side of the radio around, I'm vegan, I'm gluten-free, I can't have this, yeah. I'm allergic to that. Food allergies have become far more prominent, and from my own non-scientific research, they are mostly not allergies. They're either a mild intolerance or they are, in fact, I'm gluten-free because, you know, gluten's really bad for me.
Yeah, look, we've seen this almost tsunami of special diet requests, and I know the chefs that are listening today will agree with us that, you know, it's quite a few headaches running a restaurant these days when you've got how many covers of, you know, special diet requests.
So in 120 covers, you've got 40 of those 120 covers who are either, I've got a nut allergy, I can't have this,
gluten-free. FODMAPs, the fructose, it's big in Melbourne because Monash University founded that diet. So absolutely. I think that you could put, there's two camps. Yes, we've seen a increase in the incidence of particularly childhood allergy. We know that 1 in 10 children are now being born with a severe food allergy, and that's not something to be taken lightly.
I have a severe food allergy. I have an anaphylactic reaction to pineapple and kiwi fruits.
Yeah. Kiwi fruit's common. Pineapple is less common, but yes. Absolutely. It can be to any food. So we, our government regulators, we have the top 8 or 9, and it includes the nuts, the peanuts, the shellfish, you know, dairy, tree nuts, all those things. And so it is a responsibility of running a restaurant or being a food service provider to keep the food safe for particularly our precious kids.
Yep.
And we don't yet know why that is increasing in incidence. There's the hygiene hypothesis.
I blame the hormones in the chicken.
Well, hormones haven't been in chicken for about 40 years in Australia, so that's another little myth. But the one of the theories there is that hygiene hypothesis. Mm. We're not letting our kids play with bugs and slugs and dirt, and we have hand sanitizer everything. But it's a theory. We're still, you know,
the science is out on that still.
Well, it's there, but we're still doing a lot more research. On the flip side, yes, we've seen gluten-free was the craze of 2015. It's become not just a fad. It's tipped over into a mainstream trend. You can walk down the supermarket aisle and have hundreds of new products that are claiming to be gluten-free.
Can I ask a question that's probably going to be very, very sensitive and maybe inappropriate? And feel free to say no. But are some of these things actually masking deeper psychological issues?
Oh, wow, that's a big question. Look, I think we do now identify different types of eating disorders. There's one called orthorexia. And orthorexia is when healthy eating has gone to extreme.
Mm-hmm.
So that you have a lot of people walk around with a whole bunch of food rules in their head, and particularly women, but certainly men as well.
Particularly gay men as well.
And gay men. Mm. And the idea is that you become so concerned, so worried about all these food rules. I can't have that with that. I can't have that before 5 p.m. I can't have that on this day.
I can't have that afternoon.
That your eating becomes disordered. And so for some people don't even realize they do that, and they might go on a vegan eating trend, or they might catch on to a gluten-free trend because they think that they're looking for the answers to good health, but it just adds another layer to their food rules.
Yeah, yeah.
And it can, in some people, be masking, I'm not saying they're necessarily all underweight, so like that typical anorexia look, but they can be masking such a disordered relationship with food that is not healthy on a body nutrition level, but also on a psychological level.
There's probably, in some of those cases, some body dysmorphia as well.
Absolutely, yeah. So we do know that the biggest driver of the gluten-free craze has been around weight loss. The perception that going gluten-free will independently help me lose weight. And to date, we know that, yes, if you've got a gluten intolerance, that you may need to follow a gluten-free diet. Yes, if you've got celiac disease, you should definitely follow a gluten-free diet. But for weight loss, you're probably losing weight because you've cut out a lot of carbohydrate-based refined foods like breads and pasta and rice
that you were probably good for you.
They are fine, but you might have been overeating the portions. So you have lost weight, but was it gluten-free or was it just that you changed your eating patterns?
And of course, if you think you're struggling you've got an interesting relationship with food, there are a variety of services you can call. But if you are feeling down and upset about the way you eat, 131114 is the number for Lifeline. It is a crisis support.
And Butterfly Foundation is certainly the fantastic peak body for eating disorders.
And there is also Overeaters Anonymous, which is another organisation we interact with here on Joy as well. So if you think your relationship with food is not driven by physical but perhaps some mental or psychological issues, don't be scared to put up your hand and ask, because there are people like Emma who are more than willing to assist.
And certainly the Dietitians Association of Australia, you can search for an accredited practicing dietitian on the website, which is daa.asn.au. You can find an APD in your local area or by speciality as well, and they're the peak experts in the medical side of nutrition, so certainly skilled at eating disorders as well.
And don't be scared to ask for help. It's 18 minutes to 2 here on Joy 94.9. I'm going to continue this discussion. I'm going to get on some of the crazy fad foods for 2016 that, you know, you get those lists out every year. You're on Cravings here on Joy 94.9.
G'day, I'm Pete Evans, and you are with Pete Dillon on Cravings on Joy 94.9.
Yes, you are, and that was intentional, Pete Evans, Paleo Pete, as he's known. I'm curious, Emma, just talking about fad diets and fad foods, how dangerous is it, the cutting out, going from this is my normal diet, which does have a little bit of pasta, maybe some brown rice, because I need brown rice now. It may have, you know, particular things in it, when all of a sudden you strip all of that out and you start just eating things you can forage from the side of the road. How much shock does it put your body into, and how damaging for your body is it?
Look, I think the shock, probably not, unless you're going on a very, very low calorie diet. So you're really, really restricting your food right back. Mm-hmm. And that can put very low carbohydrate diets can do that. It puts your body into a state that we call ketosis. Mm-hmm. And long term, that can have problems like cause kidney stones. Certainly, side effects short term are things like, you know, bad breath. So
yes,
certainly cutting your calories severely can shock your system. But the idea of cutting out whole food groups is that we know from, you know, decades of scientific research on what nutrition the body needs, is that you cut out a food group, you're likely to cut out those important nutrients. So you cut out dairy, you cut out calcium, you cut out magnesium, you cut out vitamin D, you cut out other things. And so some people are following a diet, whether it be paleo or whether it be cutting sugar or whether it be gluten-free, and they do it sensibly and they make up for those nutrients through other food groups. Some people may be doing it in a way that's detrimental, and they need the best advice on how to do it wisely and not end up with osteoporosis
when we're all 45. I guess that's the important thing, and consulting somebody to help you with some of those decisions around, rather than just taking it on yourself because you read a book that you got at the library, the South Sea Diet or the Atkins or whatever, rather than taking
it on your age now, Pete.
I know, right? it's important to consult somebody, and you're probably going to spend less money on the food you're eating anyway. So the cost of seeing a nutritionist or a dietitian like you can be spread out
Absolutely.
Over the...
Yeah, I think people think that, especially us accredited practicing dietitians, that we're the food cops and, you know, we're here to say what not to do, and or that we don't embrace your... wish to trial a diet that we may not believe has the scientific validity. We actually don't do that. If you came to our rooms and said, I don't run a private practice these days, but I know my esteemed colleagues, particularly those in Melbourne, if you came to them and said, look, I really want to try the paleo diet, but they would say, okay, that's fine. Tell me why.
Yep.
You know, what are you trying to achieve with your health? Because maybe there's other ways to do it. And if you do, I really want to make sure that your diet is balanced and so that you're getting those important nutrients for essential good health, because you need to have that foundation in place to be vibrant and to have the energy and to have good brain function and to have good memory and good mood and do all those things. Unfortunately, you might be masking, you know, nutrient deficiencies along the way.
And you're not going to diagnose yourself with Ebola by going on the internet and making that diagnosis. You consult a professional.
No.
Is dietetics and nutrition claimable on some health funds?
Yes. So APDs, accredited practicing dietitians, are the only high level nutrition qualification that you can get the Medicare rebate for. So and certainly through your health funds, private health funds as well. So I'm lecturing now at La Trobe University and teaching our upcoming new dietitians, and that is certainly the point of difference. Dietitians do a 5-year master's course in most cases, and they learn the medical nutrition side. So they don't just learn how to treat you when you're well. They learn about diabetes, about kidney disease, about different types of cancer, about all the gut health is incredibly important at the moment.
You're very pleased to know that I have one of my New Year's things. I've started taking Acidophilus in the morning, because I believe that's good bacteria that's going to help my stomach.
It's the new research is fascinating around what we call the gut-brain axis. The idea that we have this gorgeous balance of gut bacteria, our gut biome that is there. We've known for quite a few years that you can beat the bloat by having probiotics or, you know, feel better. But it's actually... it's your immunity that it's going to boost. It's your mind, it's your mood, it's your brain function. How important that gut biome is, the research is really big at the moment.
There was a really interesting story in the monthly, I don't know which month last year, it was early last year, but I actually stole the magazine from the Qantas Club, because that's why they're there, because it was a really interesting article Qantas. About the gut biome. So absolutely right. I want to talk about some fad foods, because at the beginning of each year, people... you know, there's listicles everywhere about these are the foods that are going to be fads and good for you for 2016. Before we get to that, I just want to recognise Thomas has sent us a message. Great show today, guys. Really good listen. Thanks, Thomas. I'm glad that we are providing something that you're enjoying listening to. And, of course, 0427JOY949. If you want to send a message, email onair@joy.org.au. You can tweet to cravings_joy949. Or if you're listening via the Joy app anywhere in the world, you can send a message direct from that app right into our studio. Some of the fans. So the one that I saw the other day, which I really, really, really liked, was black pudding.
Yeah, that's a new one for me. I didn't know black pudding was a superfood. What was its claim? Do you remember?
Not sure. It's been around the last couple of days. Black pudding obviously is made from blood.
Yep.
Very high in iron. It's usually got some oats or some sort of binding product to give it some texture and obviously to hold it together. So from my point of view, there's not a great deal of bad in there, is there?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, we go back, first of all, looking at foods close to the natural source, and then we look at traditional diets that and dishes from those diets that have been around for centuries. And we know that a lot of peasant-type food, whether it's being something from the Mediterranean diet, Japanese sort of traditional food from the Okinawan diet, you know, the people of the world that live the longest, we'd have to look at the Scottish. But
Same people that gave us the deep-fried marmite.
Well, they gave us porridge. They gave us porridge. So, you know, there is a lot to be said to looking back in nutrition and looking at those traditional diets. I'll have a look into black pudding, and maybe I'll send a tweet for you.
I'll actually see if I can find that, because you've got a list there of some of the foods that we think that are going to work this year.
Yeah, so certainly I think that we've farmed most of kale out of Bacchus Marsh and the surrounds of Melbourne. And I'm kind of pleased to see that kale's decreasing in popularity at the moment. Kale, is nothing wrong with kale, but there's some fabulous other green vegetables in the vegetable family that I would like to see promoted.
That we can eat more of.
And we can eat more of variety. It's not the best thing you can do for your nutrition is... to Nutrition Australia, I sit on the board of Nutrition Australia, used to have a challenge to try and eat 30 different types of food ingredients a day. So not eating more food, but the ingredients. So in your stir fry, is it five vegetables or can you fit 10 different vegetables?
Or can you chuck
that type of variety is very important. Some things on my watch list, matcha, green tea matcha is really hot at the moment. Looking
been
at
around
that,
for a couple of years.
Yeah, so the idea of iced teas taking over from the juice bar craze might be something to look at.
There's a couple of places doing matcha gelato or sorbet.
Yeah, ice cream, yeah, absolutely. When I was in Brooklyn, as you said, on my lovely family holiday, which we cherished this year, last year, in Brooklyn there's a matcha bar, which is literally a coffee shop, but it's all just green tea.
And you can buy matcha anywhere these days. Yeah. Anyone, an Asian grocer will have matcha.
And again, that sort of that antioxidant rich. Kelp. So the idea
of seaweed,
yeah, we're seeing that, a lot on the menu these days as well. And sort of that idea of foraging. I know Ben Shuri is so over the idea of everyone taking his samphire.
Yes, correct.
But the idea that we've looked at our planet for our food supply for a long time, we're worried about overfishing the oceans, but have we necessarily harvested
the vegetable
produce from the ocean as well. So they were just a couple of trends on my list, but there's many, many more.
I found this article. The breakfast staple, black pudding, is the surprise inclusion on a list of superfoods to watch in 2016, produced by Muscle Food, a nutritional food retailer.
The crumbly blood sausage.
Traditionally served. Now, it's made of pig's blood, pork fat and oatmeal.
Yeah.
It's predominantly, so, a bit of pork fat is not a bad thing.
Yeah, look, again, one of the huge things we've seen in 2015 was the big fat debate, good fats versus bad fats, low fat versus high fat.
Sugar versus no sugar.
All our footballers, some of our footballers tried high fat, low carb diets. There was a lot of debate ongoing about fat in the diet. And so something like this, again, we had the World Cancer Trust come out with, the bacon. No one liked to believe that, but we have to cut bacon out and watch our processed meat.
Never, ever. Should bacon be taken out of the diet?
I know. That's definitely on your list still, Pete.
I'm obsessed with bacon.
It's an essential food group, isn't it?
Well, it is. I think it's the sixth food group for me. But look, I've been doing simple things, like just getting some, and you'll probably smack me across the head, but I did find in one of the major supermarkets a blend of brown rice and ancient grains. So I think there's 7 grains in there.
Why am I going to smack you around for that? What are you doing with it?
No, well, it's one of those, they're pre-cooked 90-second, even there with the cooked brown rice and all of those things.
I'm fine with that.
It's my convenience food.
But why not? I mean, the convenience is a relative term for different people. Mm. If that gets you 5 nights a week off a takeaway meal and onto that because it's a ready solution, I call it food arranging. You think you're cooking, but you're putting it in the microwave.
Well, I'm adding stuff to that. So
exactly.
Half a can of chickpeas and some sunflower kernels and
beautiful
bits and pieces, and I'm making it, including some bacon and
something
a bit of
from
feta.
Your veggie plot,
something
your community
from, well,
plot.
We've grown cherry tomatoes all summer. Put that into a salad and I'm taking that to work that I'm eating at my desk.
That's right.
So I'm having grains for lunch.
Our supermarket, I'm not against supermarkets. They have allowed us to have an incredible source of huge food variety. And, we have great access in Australia. We are blessed. But we need to look at the amount of packaged food we're having. It's one step we can do to better health is to go back to foods from the natural source.
Yes, which is important, very, very important.
I just saw on that Twitter feed the bugs as well.
The idea
of eating more bugs and...
Well, there's places in the world that eat cockroaches. In Cambodia, you can eat spiders.
Renee Redzepi's a big fan of ants.
And Alex Atala, who is from Sao Paulo, from Dom in Brazil. He has a dish that is pineapple with ants, and it's quite literally a piece of pineapple with an ant. I'll never have that dish because, obviously, I can't eat the pineapple, but...
I watched a documentary with Renee. I think it was... I can't remember what famous London hotel he was cooking at a number of years back now, but they flew the ants in live ants they flew in for the dinner.
It's Luke Newen who is behind that. He's eating bugs and insects and things, and he travels around Asia, Vietnam, Cambodia, Laos, China, Japan. Insects are increasing to become an everyday occurrence.
What a great source of protein when we're worried about some of our, our beef cattle impact on the environment, exactly, or overfishing our oceans. We need to look to alternative food supplies. Great.
With salt and a little bit of vinegar powder. 4 minutes to two here on Joy 94.9. A couple of things. We're going to come back and say goodbye to Emma and hand you over to the escape pod, who I believe might have Ian Thompson in with him today, talking all things aviation. It's 4 minutes to two.
Joy 94.9 has a huge range of programs available for podcast. In fact, Joy is one of the largest podcasting communities on community radio. If you haven't checked out our podcasting service, you're missing out. Visit joy.org.au, click on the podcast tab, and you'll find a list of Joy programs regularly sharing the best interviews, news, and reviews. There's tens of thousands of hours for you to enjoy, so check it out now. joy.org.au.
And why would you be listening to anything else? Some great programming there coming up for the next little while on our Drive programs. Speaking of great programming, Joe and Russ have Ian, one of our Saturday magazine producers, going to be in there talking aviation today. So that's something to stay around for. If you're in your car, don't get out. Stay in it. Drive for another hour. Enjoy their program. Emma, this has been a fascinating discussion, and I know one that we could have gone on right through the escape pod, actually not put them to air and just keep talking about nutrition. We must have you back very shortly, and we'll have a look at some of these other fad ideas.
That'd be great. There's never a dull moment in nutrition. I wish everyone well, and just find something that gives you great joy, and you'll get there that
and
way.
And they can find your website?
Scoopnutrition.com.
Excellent. I'll see you at tap dancing because I reckon you might be up for it just quietly. We'll get a little local posse together and get our tip-tappy shoes on. I'll be back next week, of course, to give you another hour of food and wine. Until then, I'll leave you with Joe and Ross as they take you flying. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.